Let us see God's face. O Almighty, most glorious and eternal Lord of Lords, King of Kings, glorious High Priest, and perfect Spirit, unto Thee we come in this beautiful day, a day which is set apart to serve Thee, to worship Thee, a day which is called the Sabbath, the day of rest. It is the Lord's day, and unto Thee we come in the afternoon hour again, for the second time, to serve Thee and to worship Thy holy name. And unto Thee, O Lord, we come in prayer. We sit and stand before Thee, and we enter Thy glorious and perfect throne room, in which we have, through Jesus Christ, Thine only begotten Son, an open entrance. That door, O Lord, to come unto Thee is wide open, and we are allowed to make use of this. Unto Thee we come, because Thou art so worthy to be praised. Thou art so worthy to be called upon, because Thou art Lord of Lords. Thou art the only God of whom the prophet had to sing, O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Unto Thee alone we come. We come, Lord, to Thee with all our needs. We come to Thee with all our joy and happiness. We come to Thee, Lord, because Thou art in truth our eternal Savior. Lord, wilt Thou teach us to pray? Wilt Thou teach us to speak and to listen? And therefore we first and foremost bring unto Thee all our sins, all our doubts and all our fears. O Lord, wilt Thou take it away this afternoon and give us an hour of rejoicing, rejoicing in that glorious work of the Savior, rejoicing in having a place to worship Thee, rejoicing of having Thy full revelation, in which Thou hast revealed, O Lord, unto us the only way of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That we may rejoice in this afternoon, O Lord, that in truth there is a wedding garment, that in truth, O Lord, the blood of Christ is all sufficient for that covering and for the taking away of all our sins. And therefore, Lord, we cling unto Thee by faith, and wilt Thou therefore pour upon us Thy Spirit, that we not only may experience it, but that we may believe it, that Thou art here in this afternoon hour. That Thou art that Almighty God, the ruler of the universe, the one who commands and it is, the one who brought us up unto Thee, O Lord. Unto Thee be all the glory and honor. Unto Thee alone, Lord, should be our focus. Unto Thee alone should be all our thoughts, word, and deed. O Lord, we come unto Thee, knowing that Thou knowest our weaknesses, knowing that Thou knowest our needs, and we bring them once again before Thee. For the widow and for the widower and for those who are serious ill, we bring before Thee the young people, that is the future of the church. Lord, wilt Thou work in them? Wilt Thou give unto them, Lord, that their faith may be rooted in that glorious foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, wilt Thou work in the young people, that fruit may go out from their life, and that they may show in the real world what it is to be called a Christian. Teach them the way of life, for thou protect them, and give them, Lord, and the parents, that they may plead upon the promises that thou hast given through thy word, that thou art the only and faithful covenant-keeping Lord Jehovah, and that all of us may learn to plead upon these promises, that thou wilt not leave us. O Lord, that we may learn to cling unto thee every hour of a day. We bring before thee again our dear brother and pastor, Pastor Lipsy and his family, and the consistory, those whom thou hast placed over thy flock. Lord, teach them. Teach them to stay humble. Teach them to stay near to thy word. Feed them with thy word. And we pray for thy flock. For thou feed them again this afternoon hour through the preaching of thy word, that they may receive encouragement to press on. To press on, Lord, for the prize which is laid up in store for all those who fear thy name. That glorious crown, O Lord, which is in heaven, to be with thee, give a great and a deep longing to be with thee, Lord, and to live according thy word, to be a light unto the Gentiles. Shame has come upon us, O Lord, because we live in a time and age that we are living in the Gentiles. The Gentiles are around us. O Lord, wilt thou therefore give us that glorious light in our own lives, that we may be a living example for those who live among us. In this hour we pray for the denomination. We pray, Lord, wilt thou give opening for those who feel and have a desire to go into the mission fields. Wilt thou make impossibilities possible, because thou art the only one who can do it. And thou wilt do it, Lord, on thy own time. We pray for this world, for the United States, for the president, for the government. Lord, wilt thou turn them to thy word, that they may confess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way of salvation, that they may publicly testify that the word of God is the only word of life, and that thy commandments are a rule of life. Lord, and then thou wilt work among us, and we therefore pray for a revival. Thou hast done it, Lord, years ago, and thou art the same God. Thou art not changed, but we are changed. And wilt thou, O Lord, come back again? Is it not time, O Lord, to work among us? Is it not time to work in this nation? A nation, Lord, who is heading up to destruction if they do not follow thy word, if they do not believe in the Almighty God, in that Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wilt thou therefore not work among us and pour out thy Spirit in a double portion, that men, children, women may learn to flee unto thee and to cry out for a Savior? Wilt thou work in this huge nation, Lord, that people again may return to thy word and learn to live according thy word? We also pray for thy persecuted church, knowing that they are praying for us who live in a Western culture, who live in wealth and freedom, and to our great shame must say have a hard time to live according this freedom. We pray for them, Lord. They need thee, and thou art helping. The church is growing, Lord, there where blood is shed for thy cause. O Lord, will Thou comfort them? Comfort them through Thy word and spirit. Help them, encourage them to press on and to be steadfast and unmovable, because Thou art worthy to be praised. Thou art so worthy, Lord, to stand steadfast. Thou art so worthy to receive all the honor and glory. O Lord, will Thou be with them and help them, encourage them, comfort them through Thy word as Thou hast done through all the ages gone by. And Thou wilt do it even until the end of the world. And therefore, Lord, we pray, wilt Thou prepare all of us for that great and glorious day. We do not know when the day will come, but one thing we know, Lord, we all have to die. Of all of us, one shall be written, and he died, and she died. Lord, let it then be in such a way that we may die glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. That we may die, O Lord, in rest and peace. That we may die looking upon that good and great and glorious shepherd. That we may die, Lord, as sheep of Thy glorious flock. And therefore we need Thee. We need Thy Spirit. We need that glorious work, O Lord, what no man can work, what Thou alone can do, O Lord, as Thou hast done in the day of Pentecost, as Thou hast done through all ages, even on this day, working with Thy Spirit in the soul of man. We pray for that glorious work, even in this hour to come. When Thy word is opened, Lord, when we may speak about Thee and Thy work, and therefore, Lord, wilt Thou take away the fear of men, that the fear of the Lord may be heard this afternoon, and that Thou, O Lord, wilt work among us and use that word, prick in people's heart, comfort Thy children, lift up souls, O Lord, who are cast down, and lift up Thine own people, that they may look forward to Thee. We pray for the week to come, a week of preparation for a celebration, a glorious celebration, which is a type, O Lord, of a celebration which will never end into heaven. Lord, that the day of next week may be a highlight in the life of Thy church, that many may come unto Thee, O Lord, and take up the bread, the broken bread, which signifies Thy broken body. And they may take up the cup, O Lord, of Thy shed blood, and may testify to find death in themselves, but life in Christ. O Lord, that the foolishness of preaching may be used for that goal, to glorify Thy name, to speak well of Thee. Wilt Thou therefore help and come over, O Lord, and help us. Wilt Thou protect Thine own word with Thy Spirit. And we ask this in the forgiveness of all our sins. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 52. Psalter 52, all stanzas, and in the meantime, the offerings will be received. Psalter 52, all stanzas. Thank you. Congregation, Psalm 22 through 24 are precious pieces of Hebrew poetry. In Psalm 22, we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Good Shepherd. In this psalm, we see a clear prophecy of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. And in Psalm 24, we see that the poet portrays the Lord Jesus as the chief shepherd. He is pictured as a king coming in power and glory. And as it was sandwiched between 22 and 24, we see that the prophet portrays the Lord Jesus as, we see in this that this is the psalm who is by God's people one of the most well known, and as you may say, the best loved psalm. The best loved of all the passages of Scripture. And here we see that the Lord Jesus is portrayed as the great shepherd. You see, Psalm 22 pictures the death of Jesus Christ for sinners. And Psalm 24 pictures the end of the age, when the King of all glory himself will reign. He will reign in perfect righteousness. But between the time when the children of God, as it were, get saved, and that day when they may go home to heaven, there is a life to live. And that's where Psalm 23 comes into play. And in these six most precious verses, we are allowed to listen to one of God's little sheep who lifts his heart in a song to honor and glorify the Lord. The Lord whom he so deeply loves. In these verses, David tells us that there is plenty to get excited about. And when it comes especially to our Lord God and his goodness in the life of God's children. Dear friends, the life of a true Christian, of a true believer, is not all doom and gloom today. If you confess to know that great and glorious shepherd, you have plenty to be excited about. And therefore, dear friends, let us listen this afternoon to David's song. And one little sheep sings a beautiful song. And therefore I titled this sermon, The Song of the Great Shepherd. The Song of the Great Shepherd. First, we like to look at who the sheep exalts. Second, what the sheep experiences. And thirdly, what the sheep expresses. The song of the great shepherd. In the first place, who the sheep exalts. Congregation, we see in this most well-known psalm that David exalts the name of God whom he loves. Now what is David's object of his love? We see that David identifies the object of his love as Jehovah, as the Lord. This is the great I am who I am. This is the God of creation, the God of the promises, the God of justice, the God of salvation, and the God of eternity. He is the one and only triumph and triune God. David calls him Lord. Well, many people call him God today. Some people in our day call him friend. Some people call him father. Some people know him as their beloved or as their eldest brother. They know him as Jesus, their Savior. And that's what David is talking about. This great God, as it were, has placed his name all over this psalm. And notice how he has written his name, as it were, in bold letters across the very fabric of this psalm. David exalts the Lord. He exalts his name in many different ways. Let's look at some of these names. Look with me to that psalm. And we see in verse 1 that David calls him Jehovah Rohi. That is, the Lord my shepherd. He is, as David says, he is my leader. He is my teacher. And he is my comforter. But there is more. In verse 1 we see also that David calls him Jehovah Jireh. That is, the Lord my provider. Because he sings, I shall not want. In other words, the Lord will always provide for his sheep. We see in verse 2 that David calls him Jehovah Shalom. That is, the Lord my peace. David calls him in verse 3, Jehovah Rafi, and that is, the Lord my healer, because he sings, he restoreth my soul. See also in that same verse that David calls him Jehovah Tzidkenu, that is, the Lord my righteousness. David says it, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And in verse 4 we see that David calls him Jehovah Shammah, and that means the Lord is there. It says it, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear no evil. Why? Why not? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And we see also in verse 5 that David calls him Jehovah Mekadesh. And that means the Lord my sanctifier. My sanctifier. David sings, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. And finally we see in verse 6 that David calls him Jehovah El Elyon. That means the Lord Most High. The Lord Most High. David closes this psalm with a beautiful song. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a song. What a song. And dear friends, do you see how David glorifies the Lord? How he glorifies Jehovah? That he speaks about Jehovah, his Lord. And how he throughout his whole life, how the Lord throughout David's whole life upholds and governs him. How he leads David, how he leads his sheep, even today. David glorifies, he exalts him in expressing the nature of the Lord. We see that David exalts the nature of his Lord, and he does this by using all these names. all these names. And the name of Jehovah Rohi is the heart of it. The Lord, my shepherd. David exalts the nature of the Lord. The nature through the shepherd's work. And David, as you all know, knew very well what the work of a shepherd was. It was his task to be in a tenderly way leading the sheep. Leading, feeding, and caring for them. And children, do you remember what David did when he was a shepherd? When he was a young boy, he was a shepherd. He protected his sheep. You know what he said? He said he killed a bear and a lion as a young man. He took care of his sheep. He was always by his sheep. He had to lead them over the difficult paths. He had to lead his sheep to places with food and drink. He had to lead his sheep to places of safety for the night. Is it not true, congregation, that the shepherd's work is a picture for that what the good shepherd did and still is doing today? Well, how do we see this? Well, because the image of a shepherd tenderly leading and feeding and carrying for his sheep is a perfect picture of the glorious and precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the relationship of that glorious shepherd with his sheep. In fact, the image of himself as a shepherd was a favorite of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You can read it in John 10. And here we see that Jesus Christ teaches that he is the good shepherd. Now you who fear the Lord, if you know him as your shepherd, then you may say with David, the Lord, my shepherd. Then you may say, I praise the Lord that when I got saved, I got even more than a Savior. Yes, you got a shepherd who is taking care of you. You got one who loves you, who tends you, who feeds you, who carries about you, who leads you, who protects you, who guides you, who guides you through life. That's your shepherd. That's your shepherd. And oh, my dear friends, when you got saved, you will meet one at one time who had made you, as it were, his top priority. His top. You know why? He's always praying in heaven. He makes you his top priority because he loves you. He loves you. If you know him like David did, then you know that he is worthy of your exaltation. And therefore may the Lord's sheep never, that's a big lesson, never to be ashamed to exalt him, to worship him, and to praise him. Because he sought you. He sought you. And he brought you from the wild mountains of sin into the valley of rest and peace. You can read it in Luke 15. When the Lord Jesus speaks about 100 sheep, 99 were saved and one was lost. And he went out for that one sheep. He got him, brought him back, and he rejoiced about that one sheep. He saved his sheep. There is reason, plenty of reason, to praise him and to glorify the shepherd. He made you his top priority, as I said. And out of that knowledge of being His top priority flows, therefore, the experience of the shepherd sheep. And therefore, we need to look at this, what the sheep experiences. Congregation, we see that David experiences a personal relationship with the good shepherd. And that's first of all expressed in the way he writes. Well, how does he write? Well, when this psalm begins, David is writing in that first person. He writes, "The Lord is my shepherd." It seems as though he is talking to us about the shepherd. But in doing so, he uses the possessive personal pronoun, my. Now, to talk about his relationship to the shepherd, he did not say, "What is true, the Lord is a shepherd." He didn't say, "The Lord is our shepherd." No. He did also not say, "The Lord is your shepherd." No, he didn't. David tells us that he has a personal relationship with the good shepherd. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Out of this flows a question, right? Therefore, can you say this too? Today, can you say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? You need to be able to. It's even stronger, friends. It is necessary to have a personal relationship with the good shepherd. Because if you have not such a relationship with him, you will never know how precious it is to know him. To know him. See, and therefore we see that David experiences more. He experienced also a precious relationship with the great shepherd. David tells us that as a result of his personal relationship, he is confident that the shepherd will take care of all his needs. He says, "I shall not want." And in fact, it is so that the rest of this psalm is the development out of this thought. The thought, "I shall not want." David, dear friends, the Lord's little sheep, tells us that all the things the great shepherd provides for him, he takes care of him. David expresses here the tenderness of the shepherd. David tells us that his shepherd, you hear, his shepherd makes him to lie down in green pastures. The shepherd knows that, unlike goats, which will eat wheat and the other trash of this world, the sheep prefers tender grass. The shepherd leads them to the places where he knows they will be fed. He makes them to lie down, it says. You know why? Because he knows that they cannot properly digest their food unless they lay down. They need to rest. They need to rest. He also knows that a sheep will never lie down unless they feel perfectly safe from any enemy. And a shepherd in that time knew very well that a sheep need to lie down because their wool grows in thickness and in richness. They need to spend some time in rest. And with all this in mind, it's all the knowledge what David has, the shepherd tenderly leads his sheep to the places of the greatest safety and the greatest nutrition. What a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ does for his children. He knows that his child needs food, and therefore he provides the best food for us. He knows that his child needs to rest, and therefore he allows to give you rest, that you may digest, as it were, the word of the Lord. And that means if you digest the word of the Lord, that you will produce the maximum fruit of it. And that will be seen in your daily life. Your neighbor will know it. If you produce fruit for his glory, not for yourself, for his glory. And therefore, he leads his children into the green pastures of his word. And he allows his children to graze on the riches contained in his word. And he shelters them while they rest in the riches of his glorious grace. What a shepherd. What a tenderly shepherd. You know, he fights the battle with the world so that his children have a time to rest in him. He tenderly meets their needs. Now may I ask you, do you take advantage of that privilege, of such a provision made by him? Do you experience this also in your life, the child of God? But David does more. David also explains the thoughtfulness of the shepherd. Thoughtfulness. You see, the shepherd leads his sheep, and he leads them beside the still waters, because he knows the sheep will never drink from a running stream. David knew that. They will never do that. Why? Why? You know that sheep have a morbid fear of water. Why? Well, they're not designed for swimming. That's simple. They have heavy coats of wool. And their little spindly legs, they can't swim. Sheep, you know, are extremely top heavy. And when they come into water, their wool will, you know, fills up with water immediately, and they flip over and drown. That's a sheep. The sheep know this, and they shy away from running water. And the shepherd knows this, and therefore he's always searching out quiet pools of fresh water. And if necessary, he even will dam up a place in a stream to make them a calm pool of water. Now, the great shepherd does the same. He also knows that his sheep needs the cool waters of his grace to make it to go through this world. He knows it. And he knows that they need places of stillness where they can come to rest and where they can reflect upon him alone and upon all the blessings that he gives. Dear believers among us, he cares about the things that you are facing in life today. What do we read in Hebrews 4 verse 15? For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Such a high priest we have. And he provides a place of rest, peace and safety for them today. Again in Hebrews 4, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That's the great shepherd. That's a tenderly leading shepherd. And then we see that David experiences more. He experiences also a profound relationship. A profound relationship. This is what we read in verse 3. He said, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And therefore, congregation, we see that good shepherd, he provides life. And here is exactly where the relationship between a human shepherd and his sheep and that heavenly good shepherd and his sheep move in a different direction. The good shepherd gives his sheep something that no human shepherd could ever provide for his flock. And what is this? That's life. Life. The heavenly shepherd gives life. You know, while the human shepherd provides everything needed by his sheep to maintain life, the fact remains that he receives his sheep after they have life. Jesus Christ, on the other hand, finds his sheep dead in trespasses and sins. It's Ephesians 2. You see, the phrase restoreth my soul literally means this: to bring back. To bring back. And now the good shepherd brings back the wayward souls from death into life. And just as a reminder, a glorious reminder, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you have eternal life right now. Right now. If you do not know them, or if you do not know Him, then you are dead. Dead in your sins where you sit right now. You can read it in 1 John 5, verse 12. We also see that after the good shepherd provides life, that he also provides leadership. Leadership. The good shepherd always leads his sheep in the right way. Whether his path leads us through the pastures, as in verse 2, or in a ravin in verse 4, he always leads his sheep in the best path of all. You know what the best path is? What is the best path? Best path. That's his path. It's always the best one. Because he went that path before. No one always likes where the path of life leads them. But if they are following by grace that good and glorious shepherd, they can be assured that he will always lead them in the right path. That's what he is doing. Just read when you come home Psalm 37. Now that word path, that comes from a word that means circuit or orbit. So the Lord's leadership always leads us in a path that causes us to orbit Him. Just as the bodies in heaven are subject to the gravitational pull of the sun, those who are in His orbit are kept in a right path about Him at all times. That's what it says. And therefore, dear friends, we see that David refers to these phrases, that Jesus Christ is that perfect shepherd. That's what they experience. Here we see the song of the great shepherd. The song of the great shepherd. And now we would like to look at what the sheep expresses. But I would like to sing with you first Psalter 4:26. 4:26, stanza 1. I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. He hears my voice, my cry and supplication. 4:26, stanza 1. Congregation, David expresses praise for the shepherd's power. And in his power we see that David praises the shepherd because he provides peace. And even though the sheep must at times pass through the most frightening and dangerous of places, they travel in peace. Why? Because they know that their shepherd has everything under control. And that same confidence, dear friends, should dwell in the hearts of each of God's people, of each of God's sheep, I should say. Today, therefore, yes, it is true. The path leads through difficulties, dangerous places. Things will happen in your life. Perhaps you get a terrible disease. Perhaps you lose everything. It's true. There are events in life of God's people that can frighten them to your heart. But dear friends, if you know that Jesus Christ, that great and glorious perfect shepherd, that He leads you, if you know Him, then He is in absolute control of your whole path of life. That's what a shepherd does. See, then you can pass through the shadows in peace. Then you can pass through these shadows knowing that you are perfectly safe. Perfectly safe. And by the way, you know, a shadow cannot harm you anyway. It's impossible. What can the shadow of an angry dog do you? Cannot bite, right? Cannot. What can the shadow of a poisonous snake do you? Nothing. Nothing at all. Shadows cannot harm. If you walk with Jesus Christ, you know you are walking in the light. In the light. And in the light, you know, there are no shadows. Walk in the light, and there are no shadows. You have His promise of traveling in peace. You can read it in Philippians 4 verse 7. But in His power, dear friends, He provides His presence. The presence of the Good Shepherd with His sheep is a theme that permeates the very fabric of this whole psalm. From the idea of His leadership in verse 2 and 3, to His presence in the darkest times of your life in verse 4, to His intimate activity in verse 5. And the Lord is seen in close proximity to His sheep. The shepherd is always there. Always. He's always there to lead the sheep, to feed His sheep, to protect His sheep, and to watch over them at all times, day and night. See, and this is the blessed truth that God's children should rejoice every day. Every day. If you could take that lesson by heart, dear child of God, that you should rejoice in that great and glorious shepherd every day. Also when things go against your will, your feelings, your experiences, look to the shepherd and you walk in the light. And in His power He also provides His protection. David mentions here the implements of the shepherd's protection. These are the rod and the staff. Now each of these tools had in these days a very specific purpose in the life of the sheep. The staff was a long pole with a crook near the end. And with this implement, the shepherd would correct the sheep. He would draw them close to Him when they began to wander away. A sheep often wanders away. What a picture. What a picture of us, right? How we often, if you may believe, often wander away. Go your own way. But does the shepherd a correction? Come back to the Word of God. And the rod was much shorter than the staff. It was used by the shepherd to protect his sheep, to protect him from anything that might try to attack the sheep. So too are the born again sheep of the Lord, protected by Him day and night. Do you realize this, my friends? Oh, that you may enjoy, and really enjoy, to have such a place of protection with Him. You see, that's the purpose. You can read it also in Colossians 3 verse 3. To be in truth protected by Him day and night. Learn from this, dear child of God, that your enemy may walk about you. He may be as a roaring lion looking for victims to devour. But this is what 1 Peter 5 verse 2 says. But he has been chained, and our Father holds the leash. That's what he does. And therefore he expresses praise for the shepherd's provision. He praises him because the shepherd provides rest. Usually a soldier in enemy territory would be forced to gulp down a hasty meal as best he could while he cowered in fear and being to be discovered. However, the Lord works differently. The Lord spreads the table for his children right in the middle of enemy's territory. And all the enemy can do is one thing, is watch. So all he can do is watch. He cannot harm the sheep. He can only watch how God's children feast, how God's children praise the Lord and receive the blessings of the shepherd. I don't think, dear friends, that we can fully grasp this. But there are times in life that seems almost unbearable to us as humans. And it is in those times when the enemy comes to God's people and when the enemy mocks them and to question their determination and whatever they use to get them away from following the Lord Jesus Christ. But through the ministry of the Lord, he is able to turn the worst of times into what? Into the greatest blessings. He leaves them feasting on his grace, while the enemy sulks and then they're unable to hinder them or to harm them. They cannot even touch his children because they are protected by that glorious shepherd. See, that's how the Lord arranges life. It's for his glory. For his glory. And for the good of his people. And then we see that the shepherd provides remedies. You know, when guests visited in a home, they were often anointed with oil to show them how much they meant to their host. It was considered to be an insult not to wash the feet and not to anoint the head of your guests. Now, and as you, dear child of God, moves through this life, the Lord takes many opportunities to anoint you. With what? With the oil of his grace. With the oil of his goodness and blessings. And they are all reminders that you are what? Precious in his sight, because you are bought with his blood. Dear child of God, I don't care what the devil may have told you. Doesn't care at all. Because you are precious in his sight. You are precious to the Lord. So precious that in a matter of fact he sent his only begotten Son to die for you at the cross. So precious that he gave his all so that you might be saved. That's the Lord. If you are saved, then you are his child. If you are saved, then you are adopted in his family. Then you are precious in his sight today. You know, it's hard to believe perhaps, but no one is more loved by him than God's people. The idea, dear friends, of anointing oil also brings to mind the image of a wounded sheep being tenderly mended by a caring shepherd. How many times have you been bruised and battered by the knocks and falls and scraps of life? How many times, dear child of God? Has not the good shepherd come to you with his healing touch and met your need? How many times? The shepherd does even more. The shepherd provides rejoicing. David tells us that the Lord's blessings in his life are so great, that he has more than he can handle. How can we see this? Well, his cup runneth over. His cup has passed full. He has run over into the saucer. And that's exactly how the Lord treats his precious children. If you are in a place where he can bless you, then he will. He will certainly do it. If some of you were to testify this evening, you could tell us that there have been times in your life when the Lord filled your cup and it runneth over. It was overflowing of the love of Christ in your soul. There have been times, isn't it, when his presence and the reality of his glory was almost more than you could handle. And those, dear friends, are the real blessings of the Lord. And therefore, give praises unto the Lord for these times, that the times were filled over, that your cup was running over. Give praises unto the Lord. Another reason for rejoicing lies in a picture of a cup that has been made to overflow. Now in those days, when a guest was sitting with his host in the evening drinking, the host will often rise and refill the glasses. Now if the host came and only filled the glass half full, it was the host's way of saying, "The evening is over. It is time for you to leave." If, however, the host came and he filled up your cup full, he was saying, "I am enjoying your company and I would like you to stay with me for a while longer." Now, when the Lord filled David's cup, he caused it to overflow. The Lord was saying, "David, my little sheep, I sure do enjoy your company. And I hope you will continue to abide in and with me." Now I got a question. Does the Lord ever fill your cup? Does He? Does He ever fill your cup? And when He does it, He is telling you this, that He enjoys your company. And He is reminding you that He loves you. Amazing. He loves you greatly. The Lord expresses praise. David expresses praise for the shepherd's promise. And the shepherd's promises, dear friends, are a help for today. The pilgrim is assured that goodness and mercy will be his constant companions along the way home. Constant. God's goodness and mercy will be with him. And these are the components of grace. And that reminds us, dear friends, that as you travel, you will always be blessed. Always. Amazing. Always. Be blessed with grace sufficient for the need. You can read it in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9. And we need to know that there is nothing in life, nothing, nothing that we can face that will be greater than His ability to see us through. You see, dear child of God, you are following one who plans, one who knows the way you are taking. He knows it. He knows every step, every step. But He does more. He goes along with us the way to assure you. He assures you of safe passage through this violent and harsh land. With Him near, there is nothing to fear. But the shepherd does more. The shepherd promises hope for tomorrow. Hope for tomorrow. David concludes this psalm with a precious reminder that this life down here will end someday. But that those who know the Lord will move to a new realm, a new life, a life of eternity. Some people believe that David is referring to the tabernacle in this verse. Could be. But I like to think that he is looking a little bit further. He's looking over the horizon of life. He's looking forward to a time, dear friends, when he will be in the presence of the Lord, his good shepherd in heaven. And that's the destiny of every child of God, even today. Dear friends, if the thought of his grace here and his glory there don't light your fire in you, then your wound must be very, very wet. Isn't that a glorious thought to know? That when life ends on earth, it is a passing through an eternal life? Does that not rejoice your heart? Is it not true, friends, that there is something about knowing that he is going to see you through this life And as it were, he ushers you into that glorious and eternal life in heaven. Should that not just stir up your heart? Should you therefore not thank God, your shepherd, that he knows how to thrill his sheep? I got a final question for you. Dear friends, do you know the great shepherd today? Do you know him? Young and old, do you know the great shepherd? If you do, then you can sing with David this most glorious song, the song of the great shepherd. If you do, you know how good and how great he truly is. If you do, you know that he is worthy of your love, that he is worthy of your faith, and that he is worthy of your praise and your devotion until the end of times. Is that not a glorious Savior? Is that not a perfect Savior? What a great, great shepherd. But over and against, if you do not know him today, but over against, dear friends, if you do not know the shepherd today, then much of what you have heard this afternoon and this morning has been very foreign for you. But however, if you don't know him today, may I urge you to seek his face. May I ask you, do you want to meet him? Do you want to meet this shepherd? It is possible. May I ask you, are you tired? Tired of wandering as a lost sheep? Tired of wandering alone on the wild hills of sin? Are you? Then come. Come to him. He's calling. He's calling today to come unto him. Are you tired? Are you tired? He's calling you. God's people may say out of the fullness of their heart that they are truly glad to know such a shepherd. And therefore, I may say unto you, I want you to know him too. There is no greater shepherd to serve and to follow. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Thou, Jehovah, art my shepherd, and in thee, O Lord, do we put our trust. Thou, O glorious Jehovah, has shown us today that wonderful work as a great shepherd in giving thy children a glorious garment and in being for thy children a good shepherd, a great shepherd, and an almighty shepherd. We do thank thee, Lord, for thy work. We do thank thee, Lord, for thy wonderful revelation in which thou again hast shown thine almighty power, a power, Lord, to save sinners, to call the wandering sheep from the hills of sin, to call them unto thee to live in thy flock. O Lord, that all of us may learn to return unto thee, and then to head up for home, eternal home.